Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. A happy Tuesday to you. Do we have a fantastic show planned for you today? I'm so excited. In fact, some of my favorite shows are when this first hour guest comes in, one of my favorite times, and it's singer-songwriter worship pastor Mark Allen. He joins us today, and I know he's a favorite of many of yours. And so at any time, if you want to call in and make a request, Mark is so secure and so comfortable in his own skin, he'll either sing it or he'll say, hey, I don't know it. So you can call in with your question, request a song, because we've got two copies of Emmanuel Live's Shine Bright, two copies of Strong to Save, awesome worship album. So I'm going to give you that phone number right away. Call in at any time. But we're also going to talk about a sermon that Mark recently gave on being brave. So we've got a time in God's presence today of worship. I hope your soul is strengthened. I hope you feel inspired to build something great with God as you hear Mark's message on just being brave, being strong and courageous. And then second hour, our good friend Bill Farrell joins us to finish our conversation about seven skills every man needs to have. So here's the number, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Mark's got his guitar and he is ready. So let me tell you about him and we'll get him on the show. Mark Allen is a singer-songwriter and worship pastor for Emmanuel Christian Center in Spring Lake Park. He and his wife, Jill, have two beautiful children, Grayson and Annabelle. You can find his original music on the web at markallen.net. Mark, welcome to the program. Great to have you.
Thanks, Susie. Great to be with you.
Well, you've been on enough times before to know that we love starting out talking scripture. And you chose two passages, 1 Corinthians 11, 23-26 and Romans 8, 11. If it's okay with you, I'm going to have you read the first one and I'll read the second one.
Yeah, absolutely. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This is the cup. It's the new covenant in my blood. And do this whenever you drink in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Mm.
And then Romans 8:11, "And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you." Man, I love that verse.
It's good, isn't
it? Yes, yes. Talk about both of those and why you chose them.
You know, as we approach Easter, I think we often focus on it just being about Jesus' death and resurrection, that Jesus came to extinguish sin and to give us hope in a future, and that's all true. But he also came to pass on what he was about to us, that the way that we live and carry ourselves through the days that are ahead of us is meant to be a carrier. He says that every time you eat and drink, it's as though we're sitting at that communion table with him, and he is imparting to us what he was all about. And so this Easter, as I look ahead at just a little more than a week or so away, it's not just about remembering that he died on a cross and rose from the grave, but that he lives in me, and that because he lives in me, it compels me to live differently. And that same spirit, as you read in Romans, is alive and active inside of us today. Mm.
Makes me think about that passage where it talks about that Christ is making his appeal through us. I mean, we are ambassadors, but he doesn't send us out unequipped. The Holy Spirit is alive in our souls.
Yeah.
And if we could even pause to think about the same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in us. And, you know, I take communion at home sometimes in my prayer time, you know, and it's just such a sacred, sweet time. But when I think about, and he says, remember this, remember us, remember me, remember this, there's something so much more, as you say, than, I mean, his death and resurrection is everything. But it's like he was saying, remember this because you're going to walk in resurrection power.
Yep.
The story ain't over yet.
That's right.
You know,
that's
isn't
right.
That just amazing?
Yeah. Yes, Jesus' story didn't just end when he took a step into heaven. It continues through us today.
Indeed, indeed. So Kevin and I were on the road, so we missed the big switcheroo. We saw it online when we were out of town, and we're like, what? So Pastor Mark, our worship pastor, stepped into the pulpit to give the message. And then is it true that Pastor Nate got on the worship team?
He did. Yeah.
He passed your muster, eh?
Yeah, we made a good old trade. It was an absolute blast.
He actually has a good voice. I've heard him sing before.
He used to lead worship, and he's exceptional.
That's excellent. So did you know right away what your message is going to be about?
You know, sometimes, Susie, you step into something not because you want to, but because you have that pitter-patter in your heart that you go, I know I'm supposed to do this.
Mm-hmm.
This is the next step for me. Doesn't mean that it's what I would have chosen or would have wanted, but I'm learning. We're in the middle of a series about bravery, and the biggest thing that I walked away and walked into that Sunday with was that being brave means responding in faith when your natural instinct wants to be fear.
Mm.
And for me, it happens all the time where we feel this sense of, yep, God's asking me to do something. We know we're supposed to do it. But then we jump into every good logical reason why it's not the right time. This is not the appropriate season. Yada, yada, yada. I haven't slept well. I'm too busy. Whatever
mm-hmm.
our excuses are. And sometimes we shrink back in fear rather than stepping forward in faith. And so it was one of those things where I was an obedience thing, and I had a blast. I really enjoyed it and felt like God had given me a word to share with our church, and it was a really fun time.
And I heard you knocked it out of the park.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
It was fun.
I don't know. I think it was Spurgeon who said that no work of God is ever convenient, and I think we have to get used to that. If we really want to be about the business of God's call and be on the adventure of faith, we have to be interruptible, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so tell me a little bit about your message before I ask you to sing your first song. What was just your opening points and how'd you set it up?
We talked about, we were looking at heroes of faith. And so the first week we looked at Joseph. And then I picked up week two where we looked at Moses and Joshua. And there's something really unique that happens in Moses' story, because if you look at Hebrews, it doesn't say, by faith, Moses was a great conqueror of Pharaoh, or took on the Red Sea, or brought the Ten Commandments down Mount Sinai. It says, by faith, Moses chose to live in obscurity and serve to be a part of the oppression of God's people.
Mm.
And to recognize that these people that we put on a pedestal are just normal people. They had great fear. I mean, Moses' natural instinct, when you go back to the burning bush, God says, I'm sending you. And he goes, but I'm going to protest this. And God says, no, I'm really sending you, but I'm going to protest. Six times Moses protested God's instruction to go. And that's like me. If I'm honest, that's probably like most people where we hear God say, do this or do that. And we sense we're supposed to, but we naturally respond in fear. And if you go back to the beginning of time in creation, God set it up this way. He said, God said, let there be light, and there was light, and it was so. And everything that God created, he spoke, and creation responded to the sound of his voice. God instilled that same pattern in Moses, and his bravery wasn't about the big, audacious, I crossed a sea or I took on an army. His biggest moment was actually saying, in the still small moment, to say, okay, if God says to do it, am I comfortable enough to listen and respond in faith to his voice? And that's something that every single one of us can grab a hold of. It's not something that's this far-fetched, oh, wait, someday I'll be brave when I have the big opportunity in front of me. No, bravery starts right now.
Yeah.
And it starts with the small, simple decisions that we make every single day that prepare us that when the big thing comes, that's just the next step. We're just like, oh, great.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to march around the walls of Jericho as Joshua. Nah, no big deal, because I just know I'm going to march 6 days. And naturally, we'd probably maybe quit after 6 days because we think, well, nothing's happened yet. But what we can learn from Moses is that his faith was built in the small, but it was seen in the public. And so for us, that was where we just started that day, was just looking at, we're really a lot like Moses. He'd be sitting in a pew next to me on a Sunday morning. He wouldn't be the guy who's written bestsellers and is big and world famous. He'd be the average person who God said, I can use you if you will listen and follow my voice when I speak.
So good and so true. And it really sort of absolves us from responsibility if we think this is just for the spiritually elite, like they're born that way with a cape,
right?
You know? I remember when one of my sons was going through a pretty dark valley, had an impossible boss, and they were struggling financially, and he was crawling through the valley, and he was talking to my other son, and he was like, I haven't felt a move of God in so long. I feel like he's looked away. It's just a painful, hard time. And my other son said to this boy of mine, he said, you know what? You are a walking miracle. And he said, well, what do you mean? He said, you have a boss that diminishes you every day, And yet you go home and you honor your wife.
Wow.
You have a boss that diminishes you every day, and yet you kiss her, your wife on the head, and you love her, and you keep showing up every day because that's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
He said, that's a miracle, and that takes absolute grit. Mm. And I loved that. I just thought that that's the stuff heaven sees. I mean, yeah. In this celebrity-driven culture, we celebrate so many of those wow successes.
Yeah, we do.
But I always say, heaven knows who's who in the zoo.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Heaven knows what's going on behind the scenes. And when you're loving and being brave, when nobody else is applauding or seeing.
Yep. So, yep. Absolutely. And it just really means you're willing to take a step forward and not shrink back. You talked about, even with your son, when they walk through that valley. I think I'm going to share a song in just a minute. It's a brand new song that talks about that. But the reality is that we think it's all about the public, but like you said, it's about the small decisions that we make in the private. And bravery means leaning forward and not shrinking back to what is safe and calculated and predictable. It's like this. It's like we stand on the edge of a cliff and we have an opportunity to jump. But we always ask the question, what if I fall? Fear says, what if you fall? But faith says, what if you fly?
Amen.
And what if there's more in front of you than behind you? What if God has more in your future than he has for you in your past? And I think sometimes we can set our own ceiling because we're so afraid of what might happen that we're not willing to leave the place where we are. And I mean, honestly, we will never leave the place we stand if we always respond in fear. Moses would have never left the burning bush, and he sure would have never gone to Egypt, and he sure would have never left Egypt. Or when he got to the Red Sea, he probably would have turned around and retreated. But to live by faith and to live bravely means to respond in faith when your instinct naturally wants to be fear.
Wow. I you're going to get to hear this podcast. It'll be up in a little while. Listen to it again and share it with your friends. So many things Mark is saying I know are just for you. And I just got a question for you. And if you want to call in anonymously, you can. But I want to ask you, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? That's not a diminishing question. It's one that, you know, Mark and I would love to stand with you and pray with you. And we've got four albums from Emmanuel Live. Fantastic. And they will nourish your soul. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, or email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. So, Mark, tell me the song that you're about to sing for us.
It's called Through the Valley, and the reality is we have bravery is a choice, like we just talked about. And every single day, every single week, we all walk through valleys at different moments of time. But it has to be a choice that we will choose, that our lips will recognize that Jesus is walking with us. And that is where our faith and our strength and our song comes from. It's that the one who oversees the wind and the waves has the power to lead us through and walk us through. So here's through the valley.
Can't wait.
When the darkness seeks to swallow and the storm controls the night, but like the thunder breaks the silence, my God provides. When the clouds above hang heavy and confusion rules the sky, you are my light. Though I walk through the valley, I will choose to sing. When my heart isn't weary, you will be my strength. Though I walk through the valley, let my lips restate that you are all I need. My soul will rest in thee. On the ocean that's uncertain, when I'm far beyond the shore, but like an anchor you will hold me. I am secure in the face of fear and failure. When I'm tossed about by trials, your word is sure. My steps are firm. Though I walk through the valley, I will choose to sing. When my heart isn't weary, you will be my strength. Though I walk through the valley, let my lips restate that you are all I need. My soul will rest in thee. My strength, my song, my joy. My strength, my song, and my joy.
I will choose to sing. When my heart isn't weary, you will be my strength. Though I walk through the valley, let my lips restate that you are all I need. My soul will rest in thee.
I'm speechless, Mark. That is absolutely amazing. That's going on the next album?
We'll see.
Yeah. Wow. Love, love it. I'm Suzy Larson. I got Mark Allen in studio with his guitar. If you've got a favorite song, he might be able to sing it for you. There he puts his guitar. He's about to put it down. He picked it back up again. 877-933-2484. We've got Linda calling in from Minneapolis. Linda, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. Well, my future, because I don't know if my future is going to be like my past, and I need to learn to wait on God and trust Him.
So that's what you're saying you're afraid of, hon?
Yeah, that my future, that where my future is going to go. And I love your sermons, Mark. I go to Emmanuel Christian Center, so I've heard your sermons, and I really appreciate it, that and your music.
Thank you.
Mark, I wonder if you would pray for Linda and
yeah,
encourage her.
God, thank you for Linda and every other person who is in the same spot where they're feeling like the future is unclear and they don't know what is exactly in front of them. And for Linda today, I pray that you would just allow peace to pass through every part of her body, her soul, and her mind and her spirit, that she would sense that you walk with her and that you hold the future in your hands and that she has no reason to fear because you hold it all. Yeah. And so in all of it, God, we ask that you would surprise her, that you would open up her eyes to see things that she didn't even think were possible. May she be encouraged today and remember that your timing is not always ours, but you're never late and you're always on time. And so we trust you with our future and we pray that you would walk with Linda today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to play a song off the CD, Peace Be Still, Ted, just so you have that cue there. Talk about this song. This one ministers to my soul in ways I can't even describe, but you know, Psalm 46:10, cease striving and know that He is God. And so, you know, we can have soul unrest in certain areas of our life and that we've just forgotten who God is in that place.
Yeah.
And we sometimes sort of just deal with it like it's sort of this festering wound, but we get into that place and know God deeply in that place, peace comes. And so talk about that song before we play it.
Well, this is a song that I wrote when I was feeling like I have this thing where I say, God, I give you my burdens, and then I go pick them back up again.
Yeah.
And I take on what's not really mine to carry. And the truth is that the things that I pursue are the things that I'm going to find. And so if I choose to pursue peace, that's what I'll find. If I choose to pursue chaos and unrest, that's what I'm going to find. And so this is a song that was really just a prayer to say, God, far above the things that I can see or hope or dream, I believe in you and I trust in you. And I pray that you would be an anchor for my soul in this season.
If you're driving, you're sitting in your home, listen to this song. Just if you can stop what you're doing, unless you're driving, keep your hands on the wheel. But listen to this song and let it minister to your soul.
Far above what I can see, beyond the things I think I need. I believe you're holding me. Here I wait for you to speak. Far above what I can hold, more than earthly minds can know. I trust your love. Every time I'm in this place, still, O restless mind. Why you see His way.
You know, we don't come automatically brave. It's God who makes us brave. Anonymous caller called and said, I'm afraid of getting old. You know what? I totally get that. And may you flourish in your old age. May you be fruitful in your old age. Stay planted by those streams of living water. God will use you in your latter years more than you can imagine. That's when some of the great things happen in Scripture to people in their latter years. Tom called in and said, have a wonderful vacation and anniversary to you and Kevin. Thank you for that. Celebrating our 30th anniversary, going away tomorrow. So glad to do that. Bill Arnold will be in stepping in for me. I've got Mark Allen in studio. We are worshiping. We're talking about what it means to be brave. Would love to stand with you. We've got a couple more albums to give away. Tell me what makes you brave or what you're afraid of if we can stand with you. Or if you've got a song request, we're here for that too. 877-933-2484. 877-93-FAITH. More with Mark Allen in a moment. favorite song off the new Shine Brighter CD. We've got one copy, I think, of each left of Shine Brighter, Strong to Save from Emmanuel Live. Two fantastic worship albums. I've got Pastor Mark Allen in studio with his guitar, and he's singing songs, and he's sharing some excerpts from a sermon he gave about being brave. And I want to ask you a question here, Mark. How do you think that God teaches us and trains us to choose faith instead of fear? Because we do have a bent towards fear. We all do. That's why the Bible says so many times, don't fear. But how does God do that? How does he train us to be more brave than fearful?
I think he has to teach us how to listen and respond to his voice. I remember a few years ago, Grayson is 5 now. When he was 4, the bedtime routine was like this. He'd go and brush his teeth, and then he has a rocking chair in his room. And he'd climb up there on my lap, and we'd read stories after he had his PJs on. And then he always wanted to be the one to get down and turn off the light in the room. So he'd walk down across the room around his bed and turn off the light, and he'd come back, and he'd crawl up on my lap, and we'd snuggle and pray. And he did this night after night. So I never thought much of it. And there was one night where he came, and as before I could do anything, I heard that he was just a little bit off course. Now, in our house, our kids sleep with the dark, like no light. So we put the big old painter's plastic over the windows, and you cannot see your hand in front of your face. And there wasn't enough time for me to respond before my 4-year-old son at the time walked straight into the dresser, which is right next to me, with the big old knobs that are an inch around and, you know, inch and a half deep. He walked straight into that dresser and crashed and cried, and I didn't know, do I pick him up or trip on him or turn on the light? But the next night when he came to turn off the light, I instinctively said these words. I said, come to my voice. Come to my voice. And in the dark, all he did was come to the sound of my voice. And he never once again crashed into the dresser or would bump into the bed on his way around. And I think the same is true with the way that God teaches and trains us. If we learn how to listen to the sound of his voice, our call is not to a destination or an activity that we do or something that's on a checklist for us to accomplish. Our call is to be responsive to the sound of his voice. And so the way that he trains us to be brave is to know that our confidence is not in our ability to walk across the room in the dark and to not crash. Our confidence is knowing that if we listen to his voice, he will guide us and direct us the whole way through.
So good. You know, I did a study on wisdom and wrote a new message on wisdom. Excuse me. And I was so intrigued by, on one hand, the promise that God would give us as much wisdom as we need. He would lavish it on us without rolling his eyes, without, you know, without begrudging us for asking. He wants us to have wisdom.
Yeah.
But then as he makes this promise that we can ask and have as much wisdom as we want, so many times in scripture, it says, woe to you who are wise in your own eyes. So once he pours it in, what's the problem with being wise in our own eyes? Well, I dug a little deeper, Mark, and the thing that I discovered is the two, I think, responses of being wise in your own eyes are it makes you a pagan or a Pharisee. So if you're either wise in your own eyes, like I'm the exception to the rule, I can dabble in this sin, I'm not going to be on a slippery slope like everybody else, you before you know it, you're living a pagan lifestyle, or you're a Pharisee because you're like, I got this, I got this, and you obviously don't get this. And it puts you in a position above people where you're leaning on your own understanding.
Yeah.
And so the treasure of wisdom, of knowing his voice, is really, it is for the humble and the brave, isn't it? To say, I got nothing on my own, but I'm not without him, and so he will guide me. I mean, what a promise.
Absolutely. I keep thinking, you know, if he calls you into it, he will be faithful to see you through it. And, you know, you mentioned there was a caller that was talking earlier just about feeling like maybe more is behind us in the future, but I'm learning that if you're still breathing, God's not done with you yet.
That's right.
There's still things that God has in front of you to be about. And it's, even if we look at the story of Moses and what he did with Joshua, was he didn't just say, you're going to be the next guy. But throughout most of Moses' ministry, Joshua was actually the assistant of his youth. He was alongside, he was his modern day intern alongside of Moses for decades of Moses' leadership, and he passed his leadership on to someone else. So even if someone feels like they're in a season where they're past their prime, it might be their season to pass the baton on to the next generation and to be wisdom, to be insight, and to be a champion for someone else's cause, to fan and to flame the gift of God in them and to pass on the baton.
So good. So you've got another live song you can sing for us, Mark. He has to go get his guitar.
Absolutely.
Sorry, he's back now. Sorry about
Absolutely.
That. I put him on the spot. He's ready though.
I'm gonna sing a song. It's another new one, if that's all right. I am. You call me an old soul sometimes, Susie, and I feel like that's true. I love the hymns. I love the story of God throughout all of history, and not just what God is doing today. I love what God is doing today, but understanding that in the context of history is so powerful. And so I had taken a hymn that I love, I'll Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, and had done a little bit of rewriting and working a few of the words to make sense in our modern day vernacular, because some of the things you go, what does that actually mean? And so this is called Crown Him Jesus. And this is a rewrite of the old hymn, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. And all hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye children of the heavenly race, you ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Crown him Jesus, Jesus. Crown him Jesus, Lord of all. Crown him Jesus, Jesus. Jesus is the Lord of all. The sinners whose love can ne'er forget the heartache of our fall, but go spread your trophies at his feet and crown.
Thank you, Mark, for sharing that. Absolutely lovely. Wow. Would you mind setting up Jesus, You Remain, and tell us about that song and before we play it off the album?
I would love to. Jesus, You Remain, we think that there's so many things in this world that we really need. We live in a culture in America where we have more stuff, we have more junk than anywhere else. And when you strip all that away, we really just need Jesus. That when we do, we talked about earlier, when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we have no reason to fear because he goes with us. Not because our possessions go with us, but because he goes with us. And so it's a declaration that says, all I need is you, not just in my head, but that's how I'm going to choose to live. That you would be the one thing that I would cling to. I wouldn't cling to the things that I can buy or the things that can afford me temporary happiness and satisfaction. But Jesus, ultimately, you are the one who will sustain my soul.
Love this song. Here it is. Jesus, You Remain. The same today, yesterday, and forever. I'm so glad you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. I have my friend Mark Allen in studio, singer, songwriter, worship pastor, and a preacher now. He's a preacher now. So if you need a guy to kick it out of the park, I mean, you're kind of a one-man show. You could come, you could lead worship, you could preach. I probably shouldn't offer your services.
No, let's not
without
do that.
Talking. Anyway, we're talking about a message that Mark recently gave on bravery, and I love what you've had to say. So if you just tuned in, you're going to want to wait for the podcast to get up here. It'll be up in about an hour. Or share it with your friends, listen to it, because it will feed your soul. Because we don't come brave, you know, but God trains us to be brave. And I'm wondering if you have a few thoughts of stories or people from your past, Mark, that really showed you what bravery looks like, maybe inspired you to courage.
Yeah. As I look back on my life, the people that had the biggest impact on me, it wasn't based on by role, but by relationship. Mm. So it was my parents and my grandparents. Sure, there were people based on this was their position in my life, but it was the people that invested me in relationships. So I had a lot of teachers that invested in me, but I remember my fifth grade teacher was one who really looked out for me and invested in me. I remember my youth leader who taught our Sunday school class for all of middle school and high school and put up with my class for a number of years, but he continued to invest in us over and over again in elementary school. We did a thing at our church called the Buddy Program, and we would pair a student, an elementary student, with a grown adult. And just twice a year, you do an ice cream social, but then throughout the year, invest. And I remember Kevin was the guy, and he would come to my baseball games and just be a part of my life. And what that instilled in me was that there were people outside of just my parents who modeled for me what it meant to live a real life and follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I think
saw value in you,
right,
which does help make you brave, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. There were people who came alongside. I remember in high school, someone I was in eighth grade who was a senior, who said, "I believe in you. I think you should sing on the worship team." I'm like, "I don't think so." But there were people who along the way saw something in me, and they either saw what was in there and called it out or spoke it in.
Mm.
And
oh, excellent.
I think that we tend to sometimes feel like we're on our own. We'll have to fend for ourselves. And we are often in this world, but if someone else would just take notice of the people around. So for me, my story is now turned the other way, and I'm looking at who are the people around me that I can invest in. Even if it's a small way, Andy Stanley says this. He says, do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. And we can't do everything for everybody, but we can sure invest in one and invest wholeheartedly. And so there's something that happens when you take hold of the generation in front of you and behind you. There's strength that comes. It's not just my worldview and my small-minded perspective anymore. Mm-hmm. There's something that's more holistic. And I think that's the way the kingdom of God is meant to be lived. If you look at the end of Hebrews, it says that all of these people, speaking of Joshua, Joseph, Moses, it says their whole, what they were called to, my paraphrase, wasn't fully realized in their lifetime, because it will not be completed until it's completed through us, because we're a part of their story.
Isn't that amazing?
And isn't that incredible? That's the way it goes, that we are a part of the story of God. And what is happening in my life, there are things that I've set in motion that I'm not meant to finish, that I'm meant to pass off when someone else is supposed to finish. And there's things that I'm supposed to step into that someone else has begun. And so passing on that legacy, passing that baton, as we talked about earlier, is an unbelievable thing that you can have practically when you have the wisdom of a seasoned saint paired with the tirelessness of a youth there's something that's special that happens there intergenerationally.
Wow. You know, we're going on our anniversary vacation. We always have a theme verse or just a statement, because it's when we start to dig in and pray audacious prayers for just vision for our future. We pray crazy prayers for our kids, and texted one of them this morning, my daughter-in-law actually, and I said, if the winds are blowing, I said, no, that we're praying. And she goes, I'll set my sail. I'll be ready.
That's great.
But the quote that we're taking with us is from D.L. Moody. It says, if God be your partner, make your plans huge.
That's good.
And I think God loves our dreams, and he loves it when we partner together. So I want you to sing Light of Fire. Tell us about this song before you sing it.
This is one of those honest prayer type songs for me. This is where I say the truth is that my natural tendency, like we talked about, is to respond in fear. My natural tendency is to drift, to sway. But God, I trust that your grace is stronger. So light a fire. And sometimes I think we find in our lives that there are things that are dreams and hopes that we've laid to rest and think that they're dead. And God is the one who can take things that, as we look at the fire of our lives and it's turned into just embers or ash, he can resurrect that and bring a blazing fire to life again out of it.
I can't wait.
I'm prone to wander, my heart inclined to slip away. But your grace is stronger than any distance I could stray. Wake my heart from slumber, relight this fire again, and ignite the embers from ash, light a fire in me. Lord, light a fire in me. Take the ruins and take the wreckage of our lives. For your glory, Christ in me be more than I. Jesus, turn our hearts to life. Relight this fire again and ignite the embers from ash, light a fire in me. Lord, light a fire in me. May we never grow cold, burning for your name alone. Light a fire in me. Lord, light a fire in me. Fire from heaven grow, start burning in my bones. Lord, light a fire, Lord, light a fire in me again. Relight this fire again and ignite the embers from ash, light a fire in me. Lord, light a fire in me. May we never grow cold, burning for your name alone. Light a fire in me. Lord, light a fire in me. Lord, light a fire in me. Lord, light a fire in me.
That's going to be my prayer until I see Jesus face to face. What an amazing song, Mark. Thank you so much.
And
one of the things you said out of your message that just honestly brings tears to my eyes, you say that the greatest legacy you can leave is to pass your faith, your story, and your bravery onto someone else. I think that is so powerful. I would love for you to speak to that person who feels like a nobody, but they're seen by God. And again, you know, it's so tricky for us in this culture because we look at so often and we think that there are the haves and the have-nots. And by doing that, we miss out on the adventure that God has for us. And so speak to that person who feels really hidden from public view, but God sees.
You know, there is a thing in our world where we control the story. We control the headlines and social media. And so we portray what we want to be seen, not necessarily what is real. And the true story is that to you, my friend, God is not finished with you yet. And you may feel like you are coming out of obscurity, or you have a season that is coming where you will come out of obscurity. But don't rush it. Be content with where God has you and be faithful. Faithfulness is the currency of heaven. And on it, God is building your character. And as he builds your character, he will eventually increase your platform. But your platform can't grow beyond what your character can handle. Mm. And so as you walk through this day and the days ahead, know that he walks before you and that God is always on time and he's never early, according to our standards, but he's always right on time. And he has plans and hopes to give you a future and a hope. And the best days are not behind you. The best days are yet to come.
Mm, what a prophetic word. Ted, we're going to try to sneak in about a minute of Brand New Day off the Shine Brighter CD, and then I'm going to have Mark pray. But we got to play a little bit of this Brand New Day. Let's listen in. That to keep going, and I want to jump around, but we're running out of time, so we're going to pray. And I'm asking Mark, if you would pray for that person you just spoke so powerfully to, that person, that they would find faith and courage to do the next thing God's asking them to.
God, we pray that you would be our hope, that you'd be our strength, that you would give us the audacity to believe you for bigger things than are in our view right now, that we would trust you, that you would allow us to do the next right thing in front of us that we know to do. To not have to have every detail figured out and planned out, but to know that you order our steps and that you walk with us through the journey. God, be our strength, that through your strength we could be brave, that we would be people that one day would be found as people look back on our story and would mark us as heroes of faith, not because of the big, but because we trusted you in everything. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. You are a dear, dear friend. You and Jill, what you guys do for the kingdom is just a gift to my heart. So thank you for your faithfulness. And I just love Jesus in you so much. Wow, it's been a good, good time.
Jesus is within reach. It's a brand new day.
Wow, great show today. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson, and you can find a podcast in just a little bit on our website, myfaithradio.com. Coming up next hour, Bill Farrell. We're going to continue our conversation about seven skills every man must have. Hour two is up next.